Broadcasting from KUCR Studios in UC Riverside, this is the Highlander Newsroom. I'm your host, Michael Rios, joined today by
Colin Markovich, the managing editor,
Rebecca Paredes, arts and entertainment editor,
and Alexander Suffolk, the features editor.
Hey, welcome back, guys.
Hey.
Alex and Rebecca.
Hey, what's
going on? You guys haven't been here in a while.
Yes.
Yeah, how was your extended vacation?
Oh, you know, just saving the world.
Just saving the world?
You know how
like
it goes.
Usual. Yeah.
The written word.
What?
The power of the written word.
Oh, yes, of course.
That came out a little more aggressively than I did.
It's all good.
I had anticipated. I've been very stressed.
Aw, it's all good. Yeah. We're almost there. We're in the home stretch. What about you, Alex?
I'm trying to beat Grand Theft Auto 5.
Wow.
It's taken a while.
Wow, such a good
thing. No, I've been writing my thesis, too.
Yeah.
Sounds good. You guys have been busy. It's great to have you guys back. We really miss you guys, so it's always nice to have you back here. Welcome to the newsroom, the people behind the paper. We have a lot of stories for you guys today, including
A union called AFSCME3299 struck on last Wednesday, and we're going to talk about that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And?
Last Tuesday, some big names in the television and animation industry came to UCR at the Stay Tuned event.
Mm-hmm. And?
And we're going to talk about Thanksgiving and our battle plans for Black Friday.
Sweet.
Black
All right.
Friday.
Can't wait to hear that. All right, but we begin today with union strikes, everyone's favorite topic. For those who don't know, last Wednesday, AFSCME 3299, the UC's largest labor union, held a statewide day-long strike protesting, quote, unfair cuts, end quote, and alleged illegal acts of intimidation during previous strikes made by UC officials against university employees. So a lot of stuff has been happening. In the past 18 months, the AFSCME, the union, has been trying to strike a deal with the UC, but nothing has been done so far, and they decided to strike. Twice so far, once in May and once this past Wednesday. A lot of things happened during the strike here at UCR. A lot of services were closed, including dining. A lot of students were upset that, you know, they didn't
and
get
hungry.
To yes, yeah. yes, upset and hungry that they, that
it was a dark belly rumbling day.
Yes.
It was nice of UCR Facebook to they reposted with the email that was sent by someone in dining who had sent like a campus-wide email warning everyone ahead of time, like, hey, bring a lunch.
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly though, like, if you didn't check your email to see that there was going to be a strike and there was going to be no
if
dining,
you just go about your day, you walk into the hub at like noon, just I'm just going to get a panda or something. Then lock doors.
Yes.
But what I mean, do I do?
But they sent that out like 2 days in advance. Like, like you could plan for something. Like, bring something. Like, it's not that hard, guys.
Make a sandwich.
To be kind of fair, although not really fair, it's a lot of students don't always read their emails.
I usually only check the ones that have the little yellow tab on them.
So I don't know if you even knew that there was a strike happening that day.
Someone told me, and then I remembered as I saw the big mass of people. Oh, that's today.
Yes.
I should have brought a sandwich.
Yes.
Yes. So a lot of students were upset. One of them said that the only meal he had for the entire day was a bag of chips.
No.
Yeah. What?
The UV is 10 minutes away.
The UV is 10 minutes away.
Also, we're college students. We can survive. I'm sure people have figured out how to survive off of a bag of chips for a day.
Yep.
Before
they grow oranges around here, don't they?
Yeah.
Live off the land.
Well, they were striking too, actually.
The oranges
were on strike.
They jumped off of the tree.
Yeah, yes. The leaves had grown little picket signs. It was quite cute.
Yes.
And then that brief moment of silence was as we all stare at disbelief at Rebecca as like
you just should have seen the faces.
Did you have pictures?
No, yes, I Instagrammed it. It looked horrible with the Kelvin filter, but with the sepia kind of tone filter, it looked so powerful.
I miss you guys so much.
Hey, I've been on the show every single time. What are you saying about the way I do radio?
That he's just so used to your presence.
Exactly.
That you just bounce off each other so well that it just generates so much more of a discussion. When
he got tired of you.
Oh.
I like Rebecca's explanation. Yes, that made me look better.
Kill.
But yes, this happened. You know, I think it was notable that the only reason that I knew about it was because of the email and then the Facebook post.
Mm-hmm.
I know the only reason that a few of my coworkers knew about it is because I told them, wow, the hub is closing. That's a really big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not all of the dining facilities on campus were closed. The residence halls had still had their dining halls open.
Yeah.
But the hub was closed. That is insane.
Exactly.
That is a big message. Yeah.
That is a lot of money lost.
Yeah.
Yes. Speaking of money lost, that was a total of $39,400 lost for the day. Yes, for people deciding not to show up to work, but in fairness, they were trying to do it for, in their opinion, a good cause.
Yeah. And what a way to send that message, and what a way to get people to actually take them seriously. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's one thing to see all of those people picketing and handing out flyers on
right.
that bend where Canning Crest, right by the Arts Building.
Right.
I saw them and people were honking at them and they were cheering and it was like, yeah. that's a big deal. But to see the hub closed, that was strange.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it goes back to like that really old, tired saying: you don't really appreciate something until mm-hmm. it's taken away from you.
Yeah. Do you guys want to know something though? Yes. I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg. At other UCs, a few other medical centers, they were not exactly closed, but some surgeries were canceled because of the strikes.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's kind of a big deal. It was It was UC wide. It was 9 campuses at the UC. And a few
one loser campus decided not to participate.
Whose name will remain
anonymous.
But a lot of people showed up to the strikes, including state assembly members and senators and even a mayoral candidate. Mm-hmm. So it was a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
I spoke to one of the AFSCME members. He said that although a lot of services were closed on campus, he said that the biggest reason they did this was because of dignity. He said, I acknowledge that students are concerned that their services are not met or that they're not getting what they paid for today. But, you know, this is for dignity. What do you guys think about that?
To be fair, they're being underpaid and exploited. I mean, like, the minimum wage at UC campus is a little bit higher than it is at the just in the market at large.
Mm-hmm.
But that's still not a living wage.
Right.
And I mean, if you're on strike, then I feel like as students, like, we have got to respect your like fight to be able to live. I mean, that's why we're going to college, right? Is mm-hmm. we're going to college so that we don't have your job. Like, basically, that's what we're doing.
Yeah. They did acknowledge some parts of that. They said that we are fighting for you guys to make sure that you guys have it the best.
They are. And like, so it's our duty to like acknowledge their strike, their struggle, and like stand alongside them, I think.
Who's to blame for really the 18 months of nothing happening? I know UC, the UC has stated that it's basically their fault for refusing to cooperate. And and on the other side, the union says that these cuts are a little too drastic.
I think the UC was like, this is just what happens when talks break down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, people in UC is going to be like, oh, it's AFSCME. And then AFSCME is going to be like, oh, no, it's the UC.
Yeah.
And so there's probably a little bit on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, the fact that it hasn't been resolved reflects a degree of intractability. The fact that it's like a big fight is means that they're kind of fighting for, I guess, what they believe in. Whatever that says about the UC. I think, I don't know, the UC has a responsibility to its workers to make sure that they are given, you know, a living wage and be able to live off of the income that they're making.
Yeah. You guys, what do you guys think?
I think it's really hard to pinpoint who exactly is at fault.
Right.
If I had to say, like, what's going to solve this, it's just either one of the sides having to like take that first step for, you know, making the outreach for communication,
because
I think that's really what's going to solve the problem. I don't know if one side is trying to communicate and the other side isn't reciprocating,
mm-hmm.
or if they just both refuse.
Yeah,
it's a pride thing.
It's
I don't know. The
pretty much
situation.
The latter. Yeah,
is that
yeah.
One,
yeah.
Someone's, neither of them want to reach out to the other.
Exactly.
Someone's going to have to be the bigger man.
I mean, they do communicate with each other, but they are refusing to budge either side. Yeah.
Compromise is going to have to be made.
Mm-hmm.
Really, when you have two parties that are this big, that's really all what you can do, and
mm-hmm.
other than have like full scale war or do nothing.
Yay, war fan.
Mm-hmm. War, good, good. what is the UC gaining by not budging in this compromise?
By not budging?
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, they are kind of saving money, or at least trying to balance whatever budget they have. You know, of course, this all goes back to UC not having enough money from the state, not getting enough revenue, all that stuff. So that's the deal. What's up?
The single largest cost in any institution is labor costs, mm-hmm. no matter like what the institution is. So the adding for an institution, adding $2 to each person's take home pay for that individual worker, that's a lot, but it doesn't, even though it doesn't sound like a lot, but for that institution, you know, you take that $2 and you multiply it by the thousands and thousands and thousands of workers who are in the UC system, and that's a lot of money for the UC to have to deal with, especially now that it's going through some budget issues.
Do you guys think that this protest actually got something done?
I think it did, especially since I know that a lot of graduate students and TAs
mm-hmm.
cancel classes
yes, yeah. yes.
to go and join. So not mm-hmm. only did, you know, the union members go out and make sure that their message was heard, but the undergrads also heard about this too. So it wasn't just, oh, the hub's closed because there's some strike going on. It was the hub is closed because people are striking for the sake of their dignity.
Right.
And they're not receiving the same benefits, or they're not receiving the benefits that they deserve. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it was effective in that sense, because one of the solutions, one of the ways to solve this is by getting, you know, more than just one group focused on this issue, because this is a huge issue. And this is something that undergrads need to know that's happening on their campus. And this is something that they deserve to have a say in, too. Mm-hmm. And by having that effect stretch so far into the different different parts of the university community, I mean, that's really powerful. And I think that I feel like they did an absolutely great job making sure that, hey, like, let's not report to work so that people can't help but notice what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. You guys think?
I was going to say, if anything, students should be grateful to the AFSCME union because the student workers union, UAW, called for a sympathy strike alongside AFSCME. Mm-hmm. That's why some of the graduate students in TAs canceled their sections. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, students, undergraduates, then they're going to be like, oh, I don't have class today. So, I don't know. That's a pretty cool benefit of a union strike. I think AFSCME should strike more often.
I was a recipient of that benefit, too. Yes. What does it say about just about striking in general? Will it always... Is this the last resort that we have to go to get something done?
I think that if all other means of discussion and compromise are not yielding any results, then... especially in a university landscape where there are just so many people spread out over so many, the UC specifically, there are so many people spread out over so many different campuses.
Right.
And I mean, it's up to the individual people to kind of hold themselves accountable. Like, this isn't happening and we need this to happen. And we need to make sure that, like, not only do the people that we're appealing to make our concerns known, but we also need to make sure that the community knows, because I feel like one of the biggest pulls with a strike or a protest or anything like that in a college campus, specifically at the UCs, I mean, it's not just about the group, it's about the community pulling together to support each other and encourage that open environment, right? So, I think this kind of harkens into our editorial topic for this week, right? Where we talked about slacktivism and how it's one thing for students to think like, hey, like, you know, not to bash on you, Colin, but it's one thing for students to say like, hey, cool, I have class, I don't have to go to class today. But it's another thing for students to say, I'm sorry, Colin. It was an example.
Yes.
But it's another thing for students to report on it, like what we did, right?
Yeah.
In media.
I mean, or there has to be a purpose.
Yeah, it's going beyond just, oh, this happened. This happened. What's happening?
Yeah,
let
exactly.
Let me look at it.
Yeah, and what's going to happen next? I mean,
exactly.
not just looking at the present. What are we going to do about it now?
Or what can I do to affect what's going to happen next?
Exactly. So, like you mentioned, we did talk about slacktivism in our editorial. We did mention how sometimes students, all they really do is just like a Facebook status that supports their thoughts, but they really don't do anything about it. This pretty much was a good example of students actually stepping up and stepping up to the plate and actually really trying to make change.
Yeah, and not just students, but also, I mean, that term isn't just limited to undergrads, because it was also grad students that were stepping up.
Right,
too.
Exactly. And professors. Professors were there, too.
Yeah. Yes. Go professors.
It was actually like a cross-section of the entire UCR community.
Mm-hmm. Workers,
there.
Professors, undergraduates, graduates, and even community members from the Riverside. From the Riverside community.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a pretty big event. If you guys want more information, of course, the Highlander newspaper is there. We recorded a video, so hey, shameless plug.
Check us out. /UCRChannelH.
Yes, of course. All right, moving on, guys. There was a pretty special event last week here at UC Riverside. Alex, can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so ASPB had a panel called Stay Tuned, and they got four pretty big names in as far as cartoons and TV shows go.
Mm-hmm.
They got Tom Kenny, who's the voice of SpongeBob.
Woo,
cool. Nice.
I mean, you go on the guy's IMDb page and it takes you like an hour to scroll through it. He's done so much.
Yeah.
He's everywhere. So they got him, and he was a blast. He was
he was
by far the best part of that show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was funny, energetic. Anytime there was any kind of awkward silence or something that was just weird that was said, Kenny always like spun it around, made a joke out of it. Guy was great.
Is his voice similar to the SpongeBob voice, or does he make an effort to?
You can kind of hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, it's very, it's different.
The inflections of his speech are similar, but the octave is definitely lower and less in his nose.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he actually he taught the audience how to do SpongeBob's laugh.
Nice.
Yeah, and that was a pretty good moment.
Do you know how?
Yeah.
Did you practice?
I don't know.
For the radio? For the radio?
On the spot, Alex.
I got it before. So he said
you have to like grab.
Yeah, okay, he said to do is to make a sound like a fire detector like dying, you know, like
okay. Oh man.
And he said you got to like slap under your chin.
Oh my goodness.
That's how you do the SpongeBob laugh. And he did it, right? Yeah.
I'm just picturing him like in the booth, like doing that.
Yeah, that's what he did. Oh, yeah. Goodness. He just stood up there and started slapping his throat. And that's when he said like the our quote of the week. He said, "It kind of hurts, but you can make a living at it." Yeah. So he was great. And then additionally we had Fred Siebert.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the first creative director of MTV.
Mm-hmm.
I think he designed the logo, or at least all the commercials of like old MTV 80s when they played music.
Oh, cool.
Like, the logo, like,
when they still had music.
Morphed it.
Back when it was cool.
Yeah.
Back when it was cool.
I'm kidding.
And so he went on to become president of Hanna-Barbera, like in its last days.
Mm-hmm.
He oversaw like the production. Like basically he was like a head executive of so many TV shows.
Right.
Like all these great shows that you know and love basically happened because of him. You know, Johnny Bravo, I think Dexter's Lab, Powerpuff Girls.
Our childhood, except for the last one.
All of them go down to this guy pushing papers, essentially. Like, he's one of the main reasons why Adventure Time is on the air.
Oh, cool.
You know, like, you know...
Pendleton Ward.
Pendleton Ward, like, came up to him and, like, you know, just in, like, a sweatshirt with, like, a guitar and played, like, the intro and pitched the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he genuinely laughed, and then that's how he knew he needed to, like, pitch it. And he pitched it to Nickelodeon. They denied it, like, 3 or 4 times. So he literally... walked across the street to Cartoon Network.
Nice.
And Adventure Time is now currently one of the biggest shows.
It sucks to be you, Nickelodeon.
Yeah. So he was great in giving like that angle on to the industry. And then also from Adventure Time was Nikki Yang,
mm-hmm.
who she's more of an artist and storyboard.
Mm-hmm.
And she's worked with Family Guy before.
Cool.
She's had a couple different shows that she's pitched that have gotten like shot down. She mm-hmm. showed us a couple of those clips.
Mm-hmm.
And they appeared like seem pretty interesting shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
beautifully designed.
Oh yeah, like there was one with like these two witches that were like twins.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty funny. Then another one with, like, it was, like, a pug, I think, a little puppy.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, designed Aww. Letters, and, like, one of the letters, like, turned giant, and he could fly on it.
Nice. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so...
But she's also the voice of
two
Lady...
Two characters in Adventure Time, Lady Rainicorn, and she's Korean, so Lady Rainicorn speaks Korean, and then she's also the voice of BMO, which is her English... Her speaking in English.
Wow.
So she was there. She showed up late, but she's still like right in time for a mm-hmm. presentation. So that was cool. And then the final guy was Johnny Young Bosch,
mm-hmm.
who at first he was a Power Ranger. So he
nice. Got, nice.
That's a great line.
Back in the days. Yeah.
Back in the days. Yeah,
back in the day, he was a Power Ranger. And then he went on to become a big voice in anime, you know, Japanese anime, like Bleach, Trigun. Mm-hmm. I believe he was the protagonist for both of those.
Cool.
And those are like, those two shows have huge fan bases,
mm-hmm.
like devoted followings. So there are lots of fangirls specifically for him.
Yes.
That nice. Night is yeah.
And so, what was the reaction like from the community?
Well, as I said, like Johnny Young Bosch just got swoons and
ridiculous,
much all night. And
he was not allowed to leave.
Yeah. He was by far like the most glib. Like his presentation was the shortest. His computer kind of messed up. So
his cable didn't fit ASPBs.
Mm. Yeah, so he wasn't able to show his full presentation. And then whenever like people kept asking him questions like at the Q&A.
Yeah,
and he would always answer them in like one or two sentences. And yet the girls went wild.
can we talk about the Q&A portion?
Yeah.
What happened there?
Well,
oh, here it comes.
They said, you know, line up, everybody gets one question. And the first girl that walks up there first gives, like, her life story
mm-hmm.
about how, you know, all cartoons have influenced her life and how she loves all of them and how her friends talk about them
mm-hmm.
and on and on. And then she went on to ask four questions. questions.
Four questions. First person up there, which sets the precedent for everyone else. Like, yeah. Oh, she got away with it.
Right. Opening the floodgates.
It opens the door.
Oh, man.
And then every single one of them asks, I mean, first, they, like I said, they all had their own little life story and how they love cartoons, how they want to go into voice acting, mm-hmm. and da-da-da-da. And then they'd ask, like, either two questions or one question specifically for Johnny, who would answer it in one sentence.
So he tried to streamline things at least. Sort of.
I don't know if he was streamlining or if he just.
It was just an end of the night blues. Admittedly, like, these people, like, these are huge names. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I was sitting there freaking out about seeing Tom Kenny speaking on that stage.
Uh-huh.
And I totally understand wanting to go up there, and this is your chance to speak with your idol.
A lot of them, a lot of the time you could tell they were nervous.
Yeah.
And that's why they were stammering.
Yeah. And just like gushing at the microphone, I mean, it was beautiful. I'm sure that they're going to remember that for the rest of their lives. But
for everyone
your
else,
memory is worthless. Your memory is worthless to me.
I feel like maybe the questions should have been screened beforehand.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of them weren't really
questions. It was like, say my name in your voice.
Yeah, one guy specifically asked Tom Kenny to say, can you say Cole in my voice? And he just yelled, Cole! And then that was it.
And it was so painful. A student went up and asked each voice artist to respond to his question in their character voice. What does the fox say?
Oh, no, 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 no,
no, no, no, no.
Yes, that happened.
No.
That happened.
And every single... Okay, Johnny Young Bosch said, like, oh, I don't know, I can't do it. I saw it, like, once. And the rest of the three said, you know, I'm behind on things. I haven't even seen the video. And that was that.
Oh, man.
A waste of a question.
Oh. The only really good question was the last one.
Mm-hmm. Is that Shadi?
Yeah, Shadi Matar, our friend Shadi. He walked out. Mm-hmm. He had two questions, but they were two good ones, so I forgave it. And they actually provoked good discussion. And he asked specifically Fred and Kenny, Tom Kenny, what their thoughts were on how he thought, like, early cartoons were a little more edgy, had, like, racier jokes, more adult humor.
Right.
And jokes today seem a little more censored or, you know...
Tame.
Tame, PG, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked what their thoughts are on that, and if that is true. And Fred Siebert basically said, yeah, in the early days of cartoons, especially with, you know, some of these ones like Rocco and Hey Arnold and whatever that are known and beloved now, back then they were really small scale and there's no one watching it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tom Kenny said it was like the inmates running the asylum. And so nowadays, when something like SpongeBob has grown and it's huge and it's an economic powerhouse and all these people are watching it, so are the executives, and that's when they crack down more.
Yeah. Sounds good. Great. Sounds like a great event. This is Thanksgiving week. Thanksgiving Thursday. And, of course, the following day is Black Friday.
Yay.
Guys, what are you guys doing for Thanksgiving?
Exciting. Are we talking turkey?
What? I don't get that.
It's a phrase.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I killed it. Yes.
I laughed.
Thank you, Rebecca. Yeah. Yes,
I got
Colin,
you.
I'm sorry. What did you do? What are you going to do for Thanksgiving?
I'm going to talk turkey. No. I am going to meet up with my family, and we get together and eat lots of food, and so much that our stomachs are about to burst. And I'm pretty sure, I think one of my relatives has like a vomitorium, so I'm pretty sure somewhere we can make that.
A vomitorium?
Yes.
Can you please elaborate?
Ancient Rome... They don't really exist, but...
they don't really exist.
The myth
is that
concept.
The Romans had these restaurants where you'd go, and the whole point is that you eat gobs and gobs of food, and someone would bring you a bucket, and you'd puke it all out so you could eat more gobs and gobs of food.
Huh.
Just eat for like 3 hours straight.
Huh. Interesting.
Wow.
Never heard of that.
Yeah.
The most wonderful thing ever. No, it's not. Don't ever do it.
Yeah, we don't encourage that. Yeah.
We at the Highlander do not support binging and purging.
I'm in the process of trying to convince my relatives to purchase a turducken and see where that can go. So hopefully we will have the experience of turducken consumption.
Wait, you can purchase those? I thought you had to make them.
Purchase the ingredients for the turducken and then, you know,
I'm sure
turducken it
to... I'm sure
there's
got to be some company that...
when you said purchase, I immediately thought of Costco, and I immediately thought of like a pallet of turduckens.
Oh, no. So
like 20 turduckens all lined up in...
So I was just thinking Walmart has just a wall already made and set up.
Just in the back of the store, there's just the entire wall is turduckens lined up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like when you go to the checkout aisle, instead of candy, they just have turduckens
lying there.
Which, for anyone that doesn't know.
Oh,
yeah. Two armed grad. It's a, okay. It's
what
a,
is it? Is it the duck goes inside the chicken?
I want to say
chicken
yes.
Goes inside the duck.
Chicken goes inside the turkey.
Okay. Wow. Yes, ducks are larger.
And there's stuffing in there, too. So wow. It's not just
anytime
bird.
There's, like, space that's missing, there's stuffing. It's like,
so, potentially, it could be the chicken plus stuffing inside a duck plus the stuffing inside the turkey. And then you can have, like, stuffing on the side.
I see nothing wrong with this.
There is absolutely nothing wrong with this.
Rebecca, what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
Well, Mike, in the words of one of our nation's heroes, Louis C.K., I'm going to eat until I hate myself.
I was
yes.
I swear.
Yes. I stole Alex's joke apparently, and I feel of like a psychic connection. And
great minds think alike.
Yes, and I have just stolen something from you, and I feel very powerful, Mike. Very powerful.
Alex, try to redeem yourself after Rebecca's done.
I don't even know if I want to.
Oh,
he just destroyed his inner motivation.
Yes,
just a shell of
I'm
his former
here
self.
Thinking I have a great quote. I'm gonna lay it out. I'm gonna be funny. That'll end this little segment, and then. I heard the words Louis C.K. I'm like, of course.
It's all good.
But yes, I'm going to eat and sit at a table where I will eat.
Note that this is not as funny as my quote.
Yeah. Note it.
I think we're all eating lots of turkey. Like, what about you, Mike?
I'm eating ham turkey. I'm more interested in Black Friday. I make a profit.
Mike.
Yes.
Tell us how you make a profit at Black Friday.
Yes, at Black Friday, I buy really, really cheap stuff, and then come Christmas time, I sell it to people who are very desperate to buy gifts.
Oh, my
yes,
God.
So I make a lot of money.
Horrible person.
What? It's their fault for waiting till the last minute to buy a gift, okay?
This is literally the plot to an episode of Raising Hope.
This is also a plot to an episode of The Office. I don't know if you guys watch that show.
Yeah.
Yes, but see,
oh, wait, yes.
Yes, yes. Yes, I get my best plots from TV shows.
You nefarious schemer.
How does that make you feel, knowing
rich.
That...
Rich.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my God, I love that.
Sorry.
Rich, that's how it makes me feel.
How do you sleep at night? On a bed made of money.
Yes, Mad Men. Yes.
You watch
yes,
Mad Men.
I've watched, yes. We are running out of time here, guys, so let's get to the Rapid Fire Report. I'll start off first. Speaking of contract negotiations, there were actually three that were made earlier this month. One was with the nurses here on the UC. The other was with the librarians. And the third was with UC officers. So, hey, good signs. Hopefully, AFSCME can reach a deal, too. Colin?
Nurses, librarians, and not police officers. I don't know if I can top that. There's an article, the KUCR, the station on which this is being hosted, and so if I speak illy bad of Comedy Apocalypse, I'm sure this show will be pulled from the air and you'll never see it again. No, I'm just kidding. I'm very grateful for our KUCR overlords.
Absolutely.
Yes.
There's an article in the Highlander this week about Comedy Apocalypse and talking about how the event went, and it was really weird. It made me think a lot about the state of society. I don't know. It was kind of funny, but it was more thought provoking than anything else. So if you're interested, check it out.
Sounds good. Alex, what you got?
I wanted to tell you all that you should all pick up this week's issue and look at the beautiful center spread.
Mm-hmm.
We covered just some of the different things that UCR students and community are doing in response to Typhoon Haiyan in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
So Sandy, our news editor, she covered the Candlelight Vigil. And then I attended the event held by Katipunan and Filipinos in Health Science that is service auction. They raised over $1,000 in one night for charity.
That's great.
Yeah, so that was a big deal. So some pretty significant things as far as relief effort goes.
Sounds great. Great job, UCR. Rebecca?
This week was the debut of my column.
Yay!
Yay! It's called Biblio What? It's going to cover. Yes, thank you for the. Thank you for the it's going to cover just goings on in literature. This week I am talking about the category called women's fiction, and my thoughts on that. And I vehemently hate the idea that there is a category of books called women's fiction. So if you're interested in reading why, then pick up the section.
It was very, very, very entertaining. I loved reading it.
Thank you.
Yes. This has been the Newsroom on KECR. The Highlander Newsroom is a co-production of the Highlander Newspaper and KECR. The opinions expressed on today's show belong solely to their owners and do not represent the Associated Students at UC Riverside, KUCR, or the Highlander. For Colin Markovich.
When you put on a red shirt, that doesn't mean that you're automatically marked for death, unfortunately.
Okay. Rebecca Paredes.
Dessert first, turkey last.
Yes. Alex Supple.
It's been a pleasure.
I've been Michael Reels. Thank you for joining us.